Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithvi Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text Number 23. Artha Indriya Arama Sagoshti Atrishtaya Tat Samatanam Aparigrahena Cha Vivittaruchya Paritoshe Atmani Vina Hare Guna Piyusha Pana Artendriyama Sagashtya Trishtaya Tatsama Mantanam Aparigrahena Cha Vivikta Rucha Paritosha Atmani Vinahare Guna Payusha Pana Arda Riches Indriya Senses Arama Gratification Sa Goshti with her companion. Atrishnaya by reluctance. Tat that. Samamatanam since approved by them. Aparigrahena by non-acceptance. Cha also. Vivikta Rucha
Disgusted taste.
Paritoshe happiness. Atmani self. Vina without. Hare of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna qualities. Piyusha nectar. Pana drinking. Translation of report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with a taste for sense enjoyment. Please repeat. One has to make progress in spiritual life.
One has to make progress in spiritual life.
By not associating with persons.
By not associating with persons.
Who are simply interested in sense gratification. And making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Purport, in the material world, everyone is interested in money and sense gratification. The only objective is to earn as much money as possible and utilize it for the satisfaction of the senses. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus described the activities of the materialistic persons. Nidriyariyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya viva chartehaya rajan kutumba varaninava. Bhagavatam 2.1.3. This is a typical example of materialistic persons. At night, they waste their time by sleeping more than 6 hours or by wasting time in sex indulgence. This is their occupation at night. And in the morning they go to their office or business place just to earn money. As soon as there is some money, they become busy in purchasing things for their children and others. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life, what is God, what is the individual soul, what is its relationship with God, etc. Things are degraded to such an extent that those who are supposed to be religious are also at the present moment interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but should give up the company of materialistic persons whose only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. They should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. Therefore it is stated, Bhakti Pareshana Bhavo Vyakti Anyatra Cha, Bhagavatam 11.2.42. To advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in the materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction to the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. Simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that a person interested in spiritual advancement will give up the company of material society and go to a secluded place as recommended to the yogis, especially. But that will also not help a person in spiritual advancement, for in many instances such yogis also fall down. As far as jnanis are concerned, generally they fall down without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The impersonalists or the voidists can simply avoid the positive material association. They cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is recommended in this verse, Vina Harira Guna Piyusha Pana. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this means that one must be always engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is the prime method for advancing spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya also recommends this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One wants to make advancement in spiritual life. By great fortune, one must meet a bona fide spiritual master and from him learn about Krishna. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service, Bhakti Lata Beach. And if he sows the seed within his heart and waters it by hearing and chanting, it grows into a luxuriant bhakti lata or bhakti kripa. The kripa is so strong that it penetrates the covering of the universe and reaches the spiritual world and continues to grow on and on until it reaches and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Just as an ordinary creeper also grows on and on until it takes solid shelter on a roof, then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. The real cause of the growing of such fruit, which is here called the nectar of hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to water the creeper with devotional service by hearing and chanting. The purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees, where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement is started for this purpose so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. In this way, one can make solid advancement going back home, back to Godhead. So the verse again, Atendriya, Atendriya, Rama Sagosha drishtaya tatsamavatanam aparigrahena cha vivikta rucha paritoshatmani vinahara guna priyusha bhana. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhinamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadya De Siddharna. Different ways, the same message is there, that if one becomes absorbed in hearing the chanting about Krishna, then one enters into a different state of consciousness. Of course, as we should always remember, that we don't understand what actual reality is, being conditioned. We don't actually understand what is the power of the holy name. And we don't even understand who we are, or to speak of anything else. And of course, the most obvious way of remembering that is to see that the whole material world is changing, including our body, but we ourselves, the person who's aware, we're always the same. But what is significant is that we actually think we're the body. In spite of whatever intelligence we may have concerning the changing of the body, and the ever-presence of ourselves, still we're under so much illusion that we still identify ourselves with this body. So when we chant Hare Krishna, in proportion to our sincerity, and sincerity, we weren't born sincere in Krishna consciousness, we have to develop sincerity. And sincerity means many things. As much as we are sincere, to that extent we can see how much we're following. And as much as we've actually become aware of Krishna consciousness, as much as we're very anxious to hear and chant about Krishna and perform service to Krishna, then to that extent we're sincere. It's not that we should think, well, obviously I'm sincere, otherwise how I can be here. Of course we are sincere. We're sincere enough to be here. But that doesn't mean we're sincere enough to get the full or even a good glimpse of what the power of the holy name is. Because if one is actually absorbed in the holy name, that is associating directly with Krishna, because there is no difference between Shrimati Radharani and Hare, there's no difference between Krishna and the word Krishna. So if we were actually associated with Krishna, we would be in the spiritual world. But because we have not factually heard, as we were hearing the nectar of the Srinamarita this morning, that the neophyte, Kanista Adhikar, is one who's practicing to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. So that's what we're doing. We're learning how to chant the holy name. And chanting, of course, is preceded by hearing. So we're also learning how to hear. Because unless we learn how to hear, we won't know how to chant. Of course, it's not black and white. It's not that we haven't heard anything. Because we are trying to chant. We've heard enough, so we're making an effort to chant. But if we don't hear enough and realize we haven't quite chanted the holy name yet, then we may mistake in our present state of experience with actually what the goal is. We may assume that actually we've reached the goal already, and that would be very unfortunate, because then we become lazy and think, well, I've already reached the goal, now I can sit back and take a break. Rather than be ever more anxious to develop the desire to reach the goal. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. So we can try that right now. Think about Krishna and see his form, try to feel his presence, remember his associates, remember his pastimes, and see if we can do that for one moment. and try to do it for 2 moments? What about a minute? What about an hour? What about 24 hours? What about 24 hours every day for the whole year? Not such an easy accomplishment. But by the science of Krishna consciousness, we should feel that gradually we are reaching that goal. We may not be at that goal, we may be far away from the goal, but our encouragement is that we feel, practically we're experiencing, that we're getting a little closer to that goal. That one should organize his life in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think of Krishna. That's what our acharyas are telling us. That's what Krishna tells us. Mamana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mamnuskuru. Mamayvashisi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Krishna says, always think of me. That's the first requirement. Very, not for the conditioned soul, an easy accomplishment, but something that can be accomplished. But simultaneously with that, one of the biggest impediments is bad association. And here a bad association means especially to associate with others for the purpose of sense gratification. It may be gross or it may be subtle. It may be simply contemplation of the objects or maybe actually trying to enjoy the objects. But that basically is what materialistic society is about. And in Kali Yuga, there's only making money for the purpose of sense gratification. People are not making money to go back to buy a ticket back to Godhead. That's not within their budget. They're making money simply to try to make arrangements for their sense gratification, whether eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And sometimes it's gross and sometimes it's more subtle. But in any case, it turns out to be the same mentality that I am here to control the material world, that is making money, and by my power to control, then I have so much power to enjoy, namely sense gratification. Ishraham Hambogi. Siddham Balaban Sukhi. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, even religious people in Kali Yuga, they're in the same business. That is, they utilize so-called religiosity in order to make money for the purpose of their particular type of sense gratification. So basically speaking, Kali Yuga means economic development for sense gratification with no real actual religion. Dharma priyojita kaitavo, prodita kaitavo tra paramonim nimatsunanam sitam. Well, this Bhagavatam is meant to kick out the kaitava, priyojita kaitavo tra. This idea that religiosity can also be used as a means for our economic development. It is so subtle and at the same time so obvious. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say that in India there is a tendency to have deities in the temple, not so much to worship the deity, but to show the deity, and then people come and they put money in the deity box, and the money is used for the prajara. Even when I was on Govardhan Parikrama, and we passed by one place, and man is just like sometimes in some countries, they have someone directing you towards their store. They stand out in front of the store and direct you, you know, come, you know, advertise. So he was there, come and see the deity, come and see the deity. What he was saying was, come and see the deity and throw some money in the deity box for my wife and children. So this type of thing is called kaitava, a cheating religiosity. And the real religiosity is so that we learn how to properly economically develop. That there's not that any way you get money is alright. But money should be gotten in such a way is that one's sense gratification is strictly in Krishna consciousness. That all the arrangements are made so it becomes as simple as possible to become conscious of Krishna. And the purpose is liberation, to get out at least of the Bali concept of life. But in Kali Yuga, when there's no economic, there's only economic development for sense gratification, then practically speaking, there's no real dharma and there's no liberation. And therefore, human form of life is wasted. And as expressed here, that the whole thing is solved if one becomes serious about hearing and chanting about Krishna as much as possible. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us the morning program, and possibly, or he gave us the evening program, possibly some people come to the evening program. And what's the idea? The idea is to maximize our hearing and chanting about Krishna. That does not mean that during the day we're not supposed to hear and chant about Krishna also, but we're supposed to hear in the morning about how to hear and chant about Krishna during the day. For those who are very advanced, they can hear and chant about Krishna the whole day just by sitting down and chanting incessantly Hare Krishna, like Haridas Thakur. But Prabhupada didn't see his followers as being so advanced, and therefore he gave them an opportunity, especially to engage in the Sankirtan mission, so that they can become advanced enough, so eventually they could have the possibility of hearing chanting about Krishna the whole day. Or engage in the Sankirtan mission, and that way hear and chant about Krishna the whole day. There's also Srila Rupa Goswami's advice, Tanama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu. So he, every word is important. Tanama Rupa, the name, the form, Charita, the character, the qualities of Krishna. Su, very nicely chanting. To chant with anxiety that we're missing something, that something is lacking. In the materialistic life, where people feel comfortable, they don't feel anything's really lacking because they're comfortable. They think they're comfortable. So one should chant so nicely that one is actually chanting with great anxiety, loving anxiety, not materialistic anxiety, but just like Prabhupada said, a child feeling separated from its beloved mother. Out of love, out of happiness, wanting to eliminate that feeling of separation. And the more we chant feeling that separation from Krishna, calling out to Krishna, then the more Krishna becomes aware, we become aware of Krishna, and then we find out what we're actually missing. Until we become aware of Krishna, how we know what we're actually missing? Everyone becomes accustomed very easily to their present state of conditioned experience. And if it gets a little worse, then we complain. Things are getting, I feel terrible. And they get a little better, we think we're in ecstasy. When we don't have as many problems today as we had yesterday, we think we're making progress. But actually, real progress means when we get a little happiness from hearing and chanting about Krishna, and we become addicted to that happiness. We feel that it's so nice, how can I live without it? I really want more of it. And the process of getting more of it is to hear and chant in such a way is that we learn the science and we become convinced that there is Krishna. Very simple. Krishna does exist. Srimati Radharani does exist. They're absolutely nice people. There's nothing wrong at all with them. They're simply unlimitedly loving personalities, and they're very concerned about each one of us. Our families, our relatives, our friends could not have as much concern about us as they can. They have unlimited concern, and as soon as we take shelter of them, then they'll manifest their concern more and more and attract us more and more to their ultimate concern. That is, we become not dependent anymore on materialistic existence and only dependent upon loving exchanges with them. To live a life of loving exchanges with Krishna and his devotees rather than a life of endless entanglement and making different arrangements for our materialistic existence. So, as probably, I think he writes here, that we're very fortunate to have such a great opportunity, Although we may not be aware of our fortune, still we have enough intelligence to understand that somehow or another I'm unconscious of my great opportunity, so I should take advantage of it anyhow. I should be conscious enough to realize that I have such a great opportunity, and by this simple process of hearing, chanting, and trying to become happy means to come to the mode of goodness. It's not that we simply put on a big smile, you know, put our two fingers up there and keep the smile up, and that means I'm happy. No, only if we come to the mode of goodness can we actually become happy, and the mode of goodness can only happen when we give up contemplating the objects of the senses. That doesn't mean we stop, you know, we put a good way of not contemplating the objects of the sense, put blinders on, and we can't see them anymore. No, we have to learn how to utilize the objects of the senses in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. Not that men are not supposed to see women anymore, or women not supposed to see men, or who knows in Kali Yuga what the endless varieties of contemplation are. No, but one should see others and see how they can be utilized in Krishna's service, how we can engage others in Krishna's service, how we can engage the energies we have in Krishna's service, and that way remember Krishna. Remember that we're servants of Krishna and servants of everyone else as servants of Krishna. Rather than somehow or another, by the process of devotional service, one day I'll become the master, and then I can actually enjoy in every respect. So by seeing others as Krishna's, as the objects of my service, seeing how I can engage others in Krishna's service, gradually we give up contemplating the objects of the senses, and we give up the taste for materialistic association, which essentially means how to get trained in better contemplating the objects of the senses and to utilize them for sense gratification. So then we use our taste for materialistic association. We lose our taste for hearing and chanting the glories of materialistic life. And one will actually get more and more of a taste for just hearing about Krishna. If we can just chant Hare Krishna once and actually feel His presence, then our materialistic life will become slackened progressively. And for those who are completely absorbed, then there's Ramanti, there's unlimited ocean. Naiva dvide paradaratya vaitaranyas tvavirya gayana mahamrita magna chita. Prahladamara said, whenever I chant Hare Krishna, my mind merges into an ocean of pleasure. So we may think it's an imagination of Prahladamara, or an exaggeration, or who knows, you know, what he's talking about. But we can try it out. And the more we try it out, of course we're already trying it out, but we should become convinced that there is an ocean of nectar and that my purpose of life is to get there as soon as possible. Maya will always tell us, you know, take a break, don't worry about it. It's always there for you. Don't get too passionate about it. You know, take it easy, you'll get a heart attack, you know. So Maya will always discourage us from getting too much interested in Krishna. And Krishna is always going to tell us, don't get too interested in Maya. So it's always going to be a fight. It's a fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and it's a fight within our own existence. Which do I really want? A comfortable material existence, which is available the most that's available in the Western world? Or do I want a spiritual existence? If I don't have so much information about the spiritual existence yet, and therefore I'm not so anxious, then I should feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I don't have to have someone else come up and tell me, Prabhu, you're in Maya. I think, who are you to tell me I'm in Maya? You're in Maya. Offending a devotee. No, we should be conscious ourselves and be, if anyone's going to push us, we should be the first one to do it. And if that doesn't happen, someone else happens to encourage us in that way, we shouldn't reject it too easily. How dare you tell a great devotee like me that I'm not perfectly Krishna conscious. So one side is we should be encouraged to become Krishna conscious. We should give up desires of sense gratification. And the other is we have to learn tolerance of criticism. The devotees will criticize us because they'll see all our defects and will feel, how are you encouraging me by telling me my defects? Why don't you encourage me? Otherwise, we'll just get into a fight. I'll tell you all your defects and we'll just have a jugga, daksha jugga in the middle of the temple room. Jugga by daksha. No, we have to become tolerant of criticism, ready to hear that, and remember that even in the worst criticism, even the most far out criticism, there may be some grain of truth that may help us advance in devotional service. And even in the greatest praise, there is usually some criticism. So we should be a little conscious of tolerance of our own desire to enjoy. And when someone else perceives that we become bewildered by our present enjoying propensity, our present imperfections caused by that, if they criticize us, Swara, we have to be a little tolerant too. Then we can make progress. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
It just doesn't seem like, someone's criticizing that, if they don't have the right mood, then I can't hear them anyways.
Yes, that's unfortunate, isn't it? Why?
Because they don't have my best interest in mind.
What happens if they say the right thing?
It's even worse.
Yeah, just think how much advancement we make if we were heard the right thing from the wrong person and we took the gold out of the filthy place. Think of how much advancement we'd make. You know, I mean, then when the people who actually had our best interest told us something, imagine how much receptive we'd be. So it's difficult. That's why Chanaka Pandit, he says, we should accept an educated person, even from a low background. We should accept a qualified wife, even from a low family. We should accept gold, even from a filthy place. So someone has something important to tell us, it's actually coming from Krishna. The messenger may not be very desirable. The postman comes, he has $1 million for us, but he's not dressed properly. We say, wait a second, how can I accept this $1 million? You know? It's not offered with love. So that's the greatest advancement, but probably the most difficult. I mean, we may not be qualified to get such mercy, therefore we may have to take mercy in a way which is more palatable. Anything else? Yes. Where are you talking about?
That was in India, in China.
So the question is, how can we avoid?
How can we avoid that we are actually coping with this kind of business?
Oh well, don't go to temples where they're doing business with the deities.
Would you like to see the deity?
Well, then go see the deity. Give the pujari a little prasadam or something. You can always offer him a little something. It's all right. No, but there it may not be our problem. It may be their problem. We may offer something to the deity with devotion, but there, if he doesn't utilize it properly, it'll be their. It's his problem. But of course, if we know that we're offering to this money to the Pujari, and he's going out and buying liquor with it. May not be in our best interest to offer him any money. Just go and see the deity. But there are sincere Pujaris too, who are taking care of the deities with the money. And they do have to have some maintenance, so it's not completely wrong. But we should be aware, there are certain temples where people, they spend vast amounts of money, and sometimes it may not be so good, because the Pujari may misuse the money too.
Yeah. I have a technical question about the word Hare in the verse. Sometimes we see Hare in the verse and it refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in our Hare Krishna mantra.
Well, I think Hare is usually the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is Hare?
Hare? Oh, Hare. Hare usually refers to Srimati Radharani. Hara.
This is.
Is it in the verse?
Yeah.
Hare. Hare. Oh, Hare, that's it. The actual word is Hare with an H at the end. A little H with a little dot underneath it. I guess Hare can also refer to Krishna. After all, Srimati Radharani is an expansion of Krishna. But the lucky thing is when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna knows what we're talking about. He doesn't get confused. He knows we're calling out to both him and Srimati Radharani.
Scholars sometimes criticize us that we chant this mantra that doesn't have any meaning, right? Because they...
Well, it has no meaning to them, it has meaning to us. And if we chant it, understanding what we're doing, then we'll experience it. And then it'll actually have a meaning. But if we don't know what we're doing, and we don't chant it properly, then it may not mean anything to us either. May wind up schnick schnick, ram ram, day day day, day. Hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. Yes.
I could just add to that for a man who told me about this. I once asked him, he said in Sanskrit grammatically when you address both Hari or Hara, it becomes Hare in the case. So it's depending on the context which way you interpret sort of Hare Krishna. Some may say it's actually Hari, but we take the global direction of this Hara and Hare. But it's not that it doesn't have meaning. The question of kind of meaning is that.
In other words, it's evocative tense. Mm-hmm. Your address, so Hara or Hari, when they're using the evocative tense, it turns out to Hare, due to Sunday rules. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.